The Holy Gospel, according to Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Oh, All Saints Sunday, a day we remember and we give thanks for all the saints of God. So as I ask the children, what is a saint? And you know what? If you ask that question to many people, you will get many answers from different people. In the Roman Catholic Church, you may hear about a process that goes on. Now, I looked up this process and I thought, oh, I'll read it. It was like 12 pages long. Not going to do it to you. So let me try to just figure out if I can shorten it up a bit. So a bishop in a jurisdiction decides that somebody is worthy of sainthood and starts an investigation. This usually begins about 5 years after the death of the candidate. And they start an exhaustive search, looking at the candidate's writings and sermons, a detailed biography of what is what that person has done. Eyewitness accounts are collected, and all this evidence is collected about the person. And once that all that is collected and it is presented to the bishop, the title Servant of God is given to this person, and this is then all this information is passed on. And there is a, and I think I'm pronouncing this right, postulator who is to collect all this information about the Servant of God. There is also a process where this person's body is exhumed and examined, and relics are taken and preserved. Once sufficient evidence has been collected, this person is recommended to the Pope, and he or she is proclaimed to have heroic virtues. Okay, heroic virtues are theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity, and the cardinal virtues of prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. So once this person is said to have these heroic virtues, the process to make them venerable starts. Now, to be venerable, a person does not have a feast day yet, and you can't erect churches in their name, and there is not absolute certainty that this person is in heaven. It's probable, but not certain. But you can make prayer cards in this person's name so the faithful can pray to them and have them intercede for you to God. And hopefully there'll be a miracle that will come out of that, because that's really the next step. The next step is beatification, or blessed. That person becomes a blessed. That means they're worthy of a belief that the venerable actually is really in heaven and is saved. And that degree, it depends on what that person has done, what has happened. If it's a martyr, it's pretty easy. But otherwise, for non-martyrs, proof that there has been, through the intercession of the venerable to God on someone's behalf, a miracle has happened. All right, and the miracles have to be proved. So they say most often there's some kind of a cure for something. So the miracles are proved. And once that happens and it's everybody's pretty satisfied, the venerable becomes a blessed. And after that, the blessed has to have at least two miracles to be canonized as a saint. And then they finally become a saint. Phew, it's right. Thank you, choir. It's a long process to become a saint. Now, another way that people look at saints are, you've heard it, oh, she's a saint. It's because, for whatever reason, he is a saint. Because they've fed the poor, they've helped, they've done things. So sometimes it just, we refer to people as saints because they've lived a good life. They're good, and they've done some good deeds. And for some people, like St. Matthew, it's people from the Bible, St. Paul, St. Matthew, St. Timothy, St. John. We name churches after them. We read their words in the Bible. And yeah, they're saints too. But you know what? For us Lutherans, when we use that word saint, we know it is not about anything that we have done. It's all about what God has done. We're not saints because we're good. We're not good. Or because we've done anything miraculous. We haven't done anything miraculous. We are saints because God is good, and God has done the miraculous. God made flesh in Jesus Christ through his death and resurrection has made us saints. You and I are saints. I love a story. It's an old story. You may have heard it before. It's about a little child who goes to a Lutheran church whose sanctuary is full of stained glass windows. And every Sunday, he's observed these windows and looked at the patriarchs and the evangelists and the prophets and all. And the sun has been shining through these windows, brilliantly illuminating them. So when his Sunday school teacher asked him to tell her who a saint was, he said the most logical answer he could think of. A saint is a person who the light shines through. That's a saint. A saint is one who lets the light of Christ shine through them. So not only are saints people who the light of Christ shines through, but they respond to that love of Christ. They respond to the goodness and the mercy of God. Saints are people who reach out a hand of hope, courage, love, and faith to one another. But not only do they reach out to those they know or those that are around them, but they reach out to those who have not found the love of Christ in their lives yet. As Luther was said to have written, we need to be little Christs for one another. We are to extend the hand of Christ to our brother and sister saints and to those who have not yet learned that God has made them saints. I want you now to look to your left, look to your right, look in front of you, and look behind you. That's it, good. You need to move your heads to do that. Good work. Okay, I'm watching you. Yep, all right. Today, we need to recognize and give thanks for all the saints around us, because we are the saints of God. You are the saints of God together. And yes, today, we also remember the saints who have gone before us to the place that Jesus promised to prepare for us. And it is because we know that it is not our goodness that we depend on, but God's goodness, that we can indeed remember those saints with joy. We read the saints of this church. We don't have to wait 5 or 10 years to say, let's prove they're in heaven. We know it. It's God's promise. God did it. They didn't do it. So we all stand before God equal. We are equally saints, and yes, we are equally sinners. We're guilty and we're forgiven. We are blessed. We are saints. One of the passages that is often read at a Lutheran celebration of the resurrection, which is what we call funeral in our Lutheran churches, is a passage from Isaiah. It's read on some All Saints Day, the lectionary. But it's a radical text. It's a shocking text. In that, Isaiah says, the Lord of hosts makes a rich feast for all peoples. And you got to wonder, can that really be true? Can it really mean that, all peoples? For the first hearers of this Isaiah text, they must have thought, isn't that just for us Jews? And for us Christians, doesn't it mean just for us Christians that believe in Jesus? Can it really mean all peoples? It also says that the shroud, that's death, that is cast over all people will be destroyed. Even as the feast is spread out for us, God will destroy, devour that last and greatest enemy of humankind, death. Can this really be true? I don't know if I can wrap my head around it, but my faith says yes. It's true. God has promised it. It's the truth. Here at this table, we have a foretaste of that great feast. Here we celebrate the death of Christ with his body and his blood. Here, in this holy meal, we celebrate the victory over death in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We celebrate as we eat and drink God's saving forgiveness that gives us eternal life. Here at this feast, we are given the light of Jesus Christ and the power to take that light out of this building and share it with a hurting world. Here in this place, we are indeed reminded that we are to be little Christs for each other. God has made us saints. We are people that the light shines through. Amen.